Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Today, our border is secure. Our spirit is restored. Inflation is plummeting. Incomes are rising fast. The roaring economy is roaring like never before. And our enemies are scared. Our military and police are stacked. And America is respected again, perhaps like never before.
All right, good speech. Moving on, the PACE Awards were... it was a tight, 10, 12 minutes, right? And then he was done, and then we moved on, and no big deal. 1 hour and 47 minutes later... Trump the movie.
Trump the movie? Did you feel like it was?
Well, it was long. Oh, it was long. Now, I will acknowledge, okay, I was at the PACE Awards for a while, and I had to leave early because I knew that if I stayed for the whole thing, I wouldn't get to bed till 1. As it was, I got done, I went home, got home at like 8:30, started, YouTube is great because you can go back from the beginning, and I actually love YouTube because you can skip forward or back 5 seconds at a time with the cursors.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on my DVR, which I also had like 3 different recordings of this going on the DVR, just in case, you can only go, I have a dish, so you either go forward 30 or back 10. Well, applause isn't usually 30 seconds long. It's usually like, 5 to 10 or 15, sometimes really long applause, but... I'm knowing if I'm going to try to, skip through the applause parts, because I did not need to hear all I don't need to hear 43 minutes of applause at the end of my day. Anyway, so I finally got done watching it, an hour and 47 minutes in, and then, got to cut the audio. So I literally got to, not done, but I sat down to watch TV with my wife, regular old, relaxing time at midnight last night.
Oh.
And got to bed at, 12:30 to get up to date to the show. So when I talk about, this is a late night.
Well, I'm glad that you made it today.
Oh, my God. What was the clip I played from Beavis and Butthead yesterday when he said it was going to be a long speech? Are you threatening me? Yes. Clearly. All right. So, what to say. In a lot of ways, President Trump is a Rorschach test. The Rorschach test, the psychologist shows you the ink blot, and you're like, that looks like a pizza. That looks like a lady. That looks like a tiger eating an eagle. You see whatever, the thing itself, there is, there's nothing objectively in the thing itself. It's what you bring to it. Now, I think there are objective things about Trump you could say, but you tend to see in whatever he does what you want to see in whatever he does, because those things become the most prominent to you. So if you dislike Trump or worse, what you saw last night was an unhinged, ridiculous, absurd circus carnival barker who lied numerous times. And that's one perspective of what happened last night. If you like Trump and you think that everything he does is genius and you wear a big red hat that says Trump was right about everything and you happen to be the congressman from Northwest Florida, you get a just over the banister kind of seat where you can high-five him on the win and selfie him on the way out, as our congressman did, then, you know, he wasn't standing on water, but he might as well have been walking on it, you know. And he celebrated America, and he talked about our victory, and he gave us a vision for success, and he handed out, you know, you get a Medal of Honor, you get a Medal of Honor, you get a Purple Heart, you get a Presidential Medal of Freedom, everybody gets an award, you know. And it's a great celebration of the most triumphant country in the history of the world. And there's truth in that, too. My job is to figure out, well, with all of that, what did we experience last night? What does it mean? So my view, you know, for usually the view that angers everybody, because I'm not MAGA, even though I'm a Republican and a conservative, and I'm not a never Trumper. You know, I'm not Al Green. I'm not looking to get kicked out every year. Like, that's the new Festivus. How can I get kicked out of the State of the Union speech? You know, I have to figure out, well, what did we get last night? Well, we got an awful lot of what I would say are exaggerations. If you're uncharitable, you call them lies. If you're charitable, you say, it's just, you know, it's just flourishes. Facts don't really matter. You know, what's the difference between $19 trillion in investment and $9 trillion in investment? Well, I don't know. $10 trillion matters. You know, what's the difference between 32,000 protesters killed in Iran and, you know, 14,000? Well, you know, 14 and 32 are not the same number. Well, they killed a lot. That's all that matters. Well, that's probably the most important thing. But is it the only thing? And we don't know. I mean, it could have been 30. That's the highest estimate. Nobody's that I know of says 32, which is what he said. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to be CNN or a lot of the fact check organizations, you go through and you say, well, this is false and this is false. And, you know, inflation is not 1.7%. And it's not, you know, he didn't inherit raging inflation and, you know, it didn't solve inflation. Not really. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things you could say about the sort of the fact pattern. But I think you'd be missing the point if you say that. Because what he was doing, I thought, was putting on a fabulous circus. Well, that sounds uncharitable. Oh, okay. I mean, he was putting on a Super Bowl show, halftime show. I mean, he didn't sing. But he was putting on a spectacle. Trump is an entertainer. And as an entertainer, he knows what the fans want. He knows what the pro fans want and what the anti fans want. And even though I think his judgment about what most people are willing to endure on length is not true, if you waited around for it, the best was at the end. I mean, good Lord. You know, he gives you something pretty early on with the hockey team where he brings them in to celebrate them. Pretty great moment, right? He's, you know, this is a great moment.
Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't take it anymore. We're not used to winning in our country. Until you came along, we're just always losing, but now we're winning too much. And I say, no, 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 you're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in.
And then they all come in the balcony and they're wearing their USA sweaters and, you know, and then the Democrats even stand up, which was the first time all night they'd stood up.
That's the first time I've ever seen them get up.
Because they have to, right?
And actually, not all of them did get up.
And that's true, too. Some of them still sat there.
They beat a fantastic Canadian team in overtime, as everybody saw, as did the American women who will soon be coming to the White House.
As Jimmy Kimmel said last night, whether they like to or not. We'll see. I mean, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know. But then he gives the Presidential Medal of Freedom to the goalie. I mean, that's great because 46 saves. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. It really was. Yeah, that's a great moment. No doubt about it. That's a great moment. And, you know, you get your all the way through the show, the performance, the movie, the drama, the circus, the spectacle. You know, and he gives out the Purple Heart to one of the two National Guardsmen, the one who survived, were attacked by that terrorist madman who drove across the country to attack him in D.C. Or is it D.C.? Maybe it wasn't D.C. It was Virginia. Anyway, wherever it was. Doesn't. I mean, it matters, but, it, you know, for the story, it doesn't matter. And then you get all the way down to the end, and you get, you know, the Medal of Honor. He calls it Congressional Medal of Honor. There's no such thing. It's just the Medal of Honor. Well, how does that matter? It doesn't matter. That's the point. The person who would fixate on that is missing the point. He awarded a Medal of Honor to a man who was tremendously wounded in the snatch and grab of Nicolas Maduro, the Chinook pilot, who got shot four times. Well-deserved. And you're like, all right, we've had it all. We've had a Purple Heart. We've had a Medal of Freedom. We've had a Medal of Honor. Not so fast. Second Medal of Honor. And the second Medal of Honor is actually an amazing story. I had seen this maybe a month ago, and we'd never had a chance to talk about it. I just, you know, sometimes I don't, you think, well, you have 4 hours. Can't you say everything? No. No. But Royce Williams, this story is amazing. This is a story that hasn't been told because it was kept secret, because he got engaged in a dogfight with Russians in 1952. He said, well, I didn't know we were at war with the Russians in 1952. Exactly. But this is a Navy lieutenant flying a Grumman Panther. Second mission of the day over the Sea of Japan. Seven Soviet Air Force fighter planes come out. He and I think it was three other, if I remember correctly, three other, there were four of them altogether who were flying. Well, yeah, that's right, three others. Seven jets emerged. Two of the American planes had to go back to ship because of mechanical issues. So now you're 2-on-7. Feels like Top Gun, only without the modern jets, right? It's, you know, the Panther versus the jets. And he starts engaging in a dogfight. Shoots one coming by, gets a hit. One MiG goes down. Wingman breaks off. Now it's 1-on-6. Far more advanced aircraft. 35-minute dogfight. 35 minutes. Trying to avoid getting shot by these enemy jets. Moving, shooting, limited ammunition, moving, shooting. Takes out three of them, damages a fourth that was eventually lost. So he shoots down four, and then he's out of ammunition. He's got to go home. It's not like you carry spare mags. You can't just get out and put more in. So he goes home, and his boat shoots on him because they think he's a Soviet coming. He survives that, manages to land. And when he lands, they start counting bullet holes in his plane. You want to take a shot at this, John? How many bullet holes were in Royce Williams' plane when he landed after shooting down four out of the seven that they confronted? That, you know, basically single-handedly.
125.
263 bullet holes.
263
bullet holes, yeah.
How is it still flying?
Exactly. How is it still winning? How is it still winning? So because we were never at war with the Soviet Union, and nobody wanted to acknowledge this incident even happened, he didn't tell anybody, and I think, if I remember correctly, I'm trying to look and see if it's actually in the story, but what I remember is, like, didn't even tell his wife because it was classified incident. You shot down four enemy Soviet jets over the Sea of Japan in 1952, and you don't even have the liberty to tell your wife that it happens. So that's the final act. That's the Medal of Honor. I mean, that's a show. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, you thought we were just going to do one Medal of Honor? I'll give you two. And somebody says, well, but what facts and policy and analysis and, well, that was not the point of the speech. I mean, there was plenty of it in there, but that wasn't what he was trying to do last night. He was trying to do something that would be memorable, that would honor America in the 250th anniversary, that people would talk about, that they would have a reaction to, and along the way, trying to make the Democrats look stupid by letting them make themselves look stupid, which they did very effectively when they refused to agree to the idea that the first job of the United States is to protect American citizens as opposed to illegal immigrants. And all the Democrats sat there on their hands looking grousy-faced with buttons that say F ICE on them. You know, like that was Rashida Tlaib. She had a button that actually said F ICE, and it's not the censored version. And Ilhan Omar yelling back at the president for daring to bring up the fraud committed by all the Somalis in Minnesota. So you can hate the president. You can criticize him or the speech. But as somebody who isn't usually a big fan of the president's presentation, this was a great show last night. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Culver's could have only started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, farm fresh dairy in their frozen custard, made fresh daily at each restaurant, or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds. Lent is upon us, and Culver's featuring cod, shrimp, and walleye sandwiches and dinners. Culver's, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Highway 90 in Milton, and opening in May at Pine Forest and I-10. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and curbside services available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're in danger of flunking most heinously tomorrow, Ted.
I will say this about early Def Leppard. Generally speaking, it's not great compared to Hysteria or Pyromania. But there are a couple of songs that are really quite good, and that's one of them. Hey, if you're Let It Go, it happens to be the name of the song. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are, you know, a year to 3 or 4 years young. You know, that's kind of their sweet spot, 10 to 30, 40,000 miles. Cars that they will all their cars they warranty. It's not, you don't pay extra for this. They warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they know they're going to take care of you. And you can count on them. You know, you get the confidence of a new car without that brand new car smell, without that brand new car price. That's basically what you get at Frontier. And then, you know, they'll even follow up with you. At least I know they did with me. They called me 6 months later and a year later to make sure everything was right with the car. And, you know, there was one little thing. It was a key. One of the physical keys didn't work. The fob was fine, you know, but they said, we'll bring it in and, you know, we'll repair it. And I'm like, well, I bet you would for $150. And there's no on us. I mean, of course. And so I brought it in. It took like 10 minutes. I had a new key and that was it. A year after we bought a used car. I mean, who does that? Well, Frontier does. Because they want you to not just buy one, but buy all the cars you're ever going to buy. And have such a good experience that you want to come back. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom, who also had a late night last night. He was at the PACE Awards, taking photos, reporting. And he's here this morning.
That's right. Doing it all.
Right on.
What's that, was a good, that was a good time last night, too. Very nice nice event there. Hold on. I flipped. I always do. I get onto the wrong tab here, and it takes forever to get back where I need to be, especially at this hour of the morning. All right, here we go. Well, you already talked about the State of the Union. Let me skip right over that. The partial government shutdown continues as Senate Democrats block funding for the Department of Homeland Security. Tuesday's vote to advance the spending bill was 50-45, lacking the 60 votes needed to advance. Democrats want the measure to include immigration enforcement changes that have been rejected by Republicans. President Trump holding a meeting today to discuss plans to renovate the Washington Dulles Airport. Trump announced those plans back in December to rebuild the international airport outside of Washington, D.C. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy will be at that meeting today.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Interesting ruling by the Supreme Court, by the way, that you cannot sue the post office for failing to deliver your mail, even if it was done intentionally.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Hope, pride, the American spirit, some of the themes from President Trump during his first State of the Union in his second term, saying America is
bigger, better, richer, and stronger than ever before.
The address, the longest in U.S. history, running an hour, 48 minutes. The president says core inflation is down and
mortgage rates are the lowest in 4 years and falling fast. And the annual cost of a typical new mortgage is down almost $5,000 just since I took office.
Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger delivering the Democrats' response.
Democrats across the country are laser focused on affordability in our nation's capital and in state capitals and communities across America.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer described President Trump's address as the state of delusion. America's listening to Fox News.
Five 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. It is 51 degrees right now. We've got clear skies here today. We'll get a complete look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce held its 66th annual PACE Awards at the Pensacola Beach Hilton. Rick Byers from Florida Power and Light was named Business Leader of the Year. Now, he came to Pensacola just over a decade ago and says he just fell in love with our community.
I feel humbled, overwhelmed, and grateful.
And Casey Gartman from Baptist Healthcare was named Community Leader of the Year. Other winners include Bobby Potomsky as Emerging Leader and Dr. Martha Saunders as Leader in Education. Louis Baer III received the Spirit of Pensacola Award. Sheriff Chip Simmons received the Pioneer Award. Well, Santa Rosa County Commissioner Ray Eddington on Monday said he thinks the proposed boardroom renovations aren't something that's needed, but he says they're probably not critical, especially given uncertainties about property taxes and the half-cent sales tax renewal. The $147,000 project drew some criticism from residents yesterday who said they think that money should go towards roads and infrastructure.
Do I think it's needed? Yeah. But do I think it's critical for it to be done right now? I don't. With so many uncertainties that we have right now, what's going to happen with property taxes, the half-cent sales tax renewal, so many unknowns right at this time, I just don't feel like this is a wise decision to make at this time. So that's just where I stand at it. But here again, I do think it's needed. It's just not critical.
The project would install drop ceilings to improve acoustics and allow for better access to lighting and air conditioning systems. Jerry Cooey said that he made a Facebook post about the project, and he said it got 56 shares, and people in Santa Rosa County are very angry. 5:33 at News Radio, 92.3. Convicted killer dead after being executed last night at the Florida State Prison. Melvin Trotter died by lethal injection at 6:15 last night. The 65-year-old was put to death for killing a 70-year-old woman during a robbery at her grocery store in Manatee County in 1986. It was Florida's second execution this year. The third is set for next week. Well, one person is hurt after being shot by a sheriff's deputy in Miami-Dade County. The sheriff's office there says a driver fled from a traffic stop and wound up hitting another car before coming to a stop. Deputies say that somebody got out of the car while armed and was shot. They were taken to a hospital. Nobody else was hurt in that incident. And it's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We will have partly cloudy skies today with temperatures much warmer by the afternoon, 71 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Thursday, partly sunny skies, 40% chance of some showers, high near 74. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Heading into Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, high near 72 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 51 degrees right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to Pep Talk with Meg in mid-morning, NVR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Here in studio with me, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
Now, also, interestingly, you're no longer just the sheriff. You're also number one on the power list from N Weekly. So, I mean, does that confer, like, knighthood or sainthood?
I thought you were
going
to say number one in your heart.
Well, no, that's true, too. No. But, you know, I don't – that didn't get printed in the paper. So, and am I wrong? This is the first year, I think, that Rick has done elected officials to be on the power list. I think.
No, he's had, in fact, David Morgan, my predecessor, years ago.
I was on it. Okay, so my mistake. Okay, fair enough.
As well.
All right,
and,
so you're
number on that list is a little bit of a politician, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But you're number one on the list, and you're a big, brave boy. You ran into fire when it was going on. Andrew Hobbs wrote all about you, and, you know, which I know is totally your person. But now you're retired from the list. You can't, once you win, you can't be it. It's like being DeLuna, right?
Yeah,
you can't be in the court anymore.
You can move to side.
Emeritus, you know, yeah, graduate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Look, I really appreciate that. I mentioned yesterday to some people that I started off years ago. I was a police chief, and I got on the list. It was like number 100 uh-huh. out of 100.
Yeah.
And I was I'm proof that you can work your way up from 100 to one.
From being a lowly little corrections officer who had injuries that prevented him from getting a job at PPD at sheriff's office.
Right.
And now come full circle, I'll show them.
I'm just a policeman, right?
Yeah.
and that's all I ever really wanted to do. is to serve. And I've been.
I actually didn't know that part of this. I didn't know that an injury kept you from ECSO back in the day.
It kept me from going what we call across the street from the jail to going to corrections. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, to rookie school instead of correction school. So I hobbled my way through correction school with a broken leg.
Yeah.
And they didn't care back then. They just needed people. So if you can wear your cast if you want to over there at the jail.
CO, by the way, working in the jail as a corrections officer in case of the lingo. I apologize to acronyms. Well, anyway, that's that great news. Congratulations on that. Man, we got a lot of stuff I want to get to. Let's start with probably the hardest one first, just because it's been so much in the news, especially on social media. So this guy allegedly crosses the center line scenic highway, causes a wreck that kills two people. He's impaired, allegedly, with now it turns out to be prescription drugs. But mere minutes prior to doing that, he was over on the west side. He got pulled over. Somebody had called 911 because he was asleep in the car, a good car length back of the light. EMS shows up first on the scene, kind of checks and sees if he's okay. I think at this point it's unclear exactly how thorough that check was, but she says, you know, medically kind of, you know, there's nothing wrong with him that I would need to, you know, do anything. Your deputies, one shows up as working the case, another one shows up as is common. She kind of goes through some of her questions, says, you know, yeah, he talks weird, but I don't know that that's proof. Does not do a sobriety check, then follows him after he takes off and follows him for 2 miles. Subsequently, then, of course, these people die. A lot of criticism for your agency and for the deputies on the scene, not doing a sobriety check, not pulling him out of the car, not doing more, which obviously turned out with catastrophic results later. Your thoughts?
Well, again, this is a Pensacola police case. The crash actually happened in their jurisdiction. Terrible, terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
Our deputies did have an interaction with him along with an EMS personnel. We were dispatched to that area on a assist EMS, which we do all the time. Our deputy, not one deputy, but two deputies, and the EMS personnel had a brief to moderate interaction with him. The EMT, which I thought did a good job. I mean, they're criticizing some of the things that she did. But she turns to us in the body camera that we, in full transparency, we put both body cameras out.
Right.
She says, he's answered all of my questions. The deputies that were on the scene did not detect what they felt like would have been impairment. And she actually followed them with the conclusion of that interaction. She followed that truck. And if you've ever driven a lifted Jeep with big tires, you know how difficult, but it can be difficult to drive. Mm-hmm. And she followed him about 7 blocks until she got called away to another call. And then ultimately later on, unfortunately, that vehicle was involved in a traffic crash. I think that the only thing I will say about this is that aside from the family, no one bears the weight of these decisions, these discretionary decisions, more than law enforcement officer. And we make hundreds of decisions like this every day, whether it's the domestic violence that you don't make an arrest, you walk away from. I know that I have been in law enforcement a long time, and we've done cases where we've had to walk away because we didn't feel like we had enough. And the tie goes to the runner in the United States. If you don't have probable cause to make an arrest, you don't make that arrest. And again, we're both of these the interactions are under review. We take a look at everything that we do and see if there's something that we can do a little bit better. So the traffic stop and even the transfer of the information from EOC or 911 into Escambia County, how much did they hear? How much was relayed to the deputy at the scene? All those things are under review within our agencies. We are asking the Pensacola Police Department for a copy of some of the body cameras that they've got. But again, the bottom line is our deputies did not detect any alcohol, and she makes a comment in there that it's an unusual speech pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So she acknowledges that they talk different, or it was speaking different, and that's where we are.
When you watched it, did you feel like, yep, that's what I would have done, or that's what my policies teach people to do? Or did you, because obviously there's everybody's armchair quarterback, you know, Monday morning, obviously, but that's what I always think is, you know, what would I have done in that circumstance? And, you know, I don't know, I'm not a cop, but I, you know, it seemed weird the way he was talking and the fact that he'd been asleep, you know, at the wheel. Although I guess when the EMS got there, he was not asleep or something like that. So it seemed weird not to do something, but is that just because I know how it turned out in the end, or is that because of what's actionable at the time?
Well, I think the easiest time to be a cop is after the fact.
Yeah. Right?
All those decisions are easier to make. And again, you have to understand that we make hundreds of these calls, and you have to use your discretion. You have to use what is available to you. You go back on your training. She did, if you recall, the body cam. She'd ask if he was drinking, and then asked if he was doing any kind of drugs, and so there was some thought as to that, and the determination was that it was a medical.
Now, last question on this, because you mentioned it was the following him afterwards for like seven blocks. It seemed to me like, if you're uncertain enough to follow him, then you act on that uncertainty before he gets behind the wheel again. If you're worried that he might be impaired, you don't find out by letting him drive. You find out by doing some kind of a field sobriety test. That didn't seem like a normal procedure to me, but you tell me.
Well, I believe that there are many times that you conduct a traffic stop, and both vehicles were facing the same way.
Yeah.
Both vehicles happened to be turning left onto Cervantes Street. And if you're behind the car that you had just stopped, you're not going to close your eyes on that type of situation. You're going to pay attention to what they're doing. Just as an added evaluation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then again, she got called away.
So it's not that she thought he was impaired. It's that she'd already decided that there wasn't enough action to be taken. And then she was following just in case she got it wrong. Not that she thought she had it wrong.
It wasn't, I'm going to follow you to see if you're impaired. It is we're both happy to be going the same direction.
Okay.
I'm going to pay attention to you.
Got
because
it.
I know the history of where we just left on. And again, just as an added evaluation piece.
That makes more sense to me. Okay, I got it. Other things, you guys pitted a car over on Massachusetts this last week?
Yeah, we did. We another stolen car that we detected based upon our license plate readers. And we already talked about what they do with these stolen cars. They're up to no good with stolen cars. Tried to stop it. As they do, they didn't stop. And as we try to get our deputies to do, let's pit this car as quickly as we can. We do not want the car to get up to speed. We do not want this car to get to a mobile highway, to a major thoroughfare. And the deputy did exactly what they're supposed to do. It spun it a little bit. Bad guy gets out, tries to run, doesn't go far. We end up arresting him. And at the cost of a bumper, no one else is hurt. And a bad guy's arrested and a car is recovered.
And he was it was wanted for stolen vehicle. Was that the primary issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said a cost of a bumper, but you have the equipment on him now that you don't even have to replace the bumper, right? Like it's designed
to
be able
to. It wasn't our bumper. It was the bumper. Oh, his bumper. Another car. Yeah.
the car owner's bumper. I got you. All right. Fair enough. You also had an issue where this is obviously not your guys' fault, but you had a car that ran into one of your cruisers during a traffic stop. Is that right? Up in the north end?
Yeah, up in the north end, we had a deputy, actually had a rider, a cadet. They ride with our deputies just to get the lay of the land, if you will, and to make as much experience as they possibly can. So in this case, they were staging to try to pick up a gentleman that had a warrant on him. So they pulled over to the side of the road, clearly off the road, all off the road, just so everyone knows. And a car failed to navigate a turn, clipped the back of that car, and actually rolled over. The tremendously unfortunate part of it is that there was an infant in that car, but luckily that infant was restrained, taken to the hospital for evaluation, and as I understand it, no long-standing injuries.
Thank goodness. How do you roll over turning a corner? How fast do you go? I mean, that's...
Well, I think when you clipped the back end of our car, it lifted that one portion of the car up, and it turned it. I didn't see it, but that's... based upon my accident reconstruction experience.
You guys are in line for about a $5 million grant to, offset costs associated with cooperation with ICE. Is that right?
Yes, we have been made aware that there was some money available for those agencies that are part of this 287G program, which means that we will help ICE if they come here and they want some assistance, and we will do that. So... We looked at the needs that we have and what could potentially make us more capable. And part of that is buying new handheld radios. A lot of the old radios we have, we can't talk to other agencies. We have an aging system. And the radios are about $12,000 each. Mm. We have a lot of deputies. We needed some consoles. So that's part of what we applied for this grant for.
This is just the handheld ordinary radio you carry around with you all the time?
These are about 360 handheld radios we're asking for. To the tune of a couple $1 million. We also need some data storage. We put out this body cameras. We're able to have body cameras because we have the storage for the body cameras. And I don't know that people understand just how much storage all these videos have to take. And then
350 deputies, something like that on the street.
No, we have 450. Yeah,
all recording deputies. A lot of video. Video is very memory intensive. Transfer it. All that, right.
Yeah, and that has to be preserved. Certainly, the ones that result in an arrest or a case. So yeah, we have to. Oh, we had the need for that. We also got some hardware for some of the license plate readers. So, and all this stuff is expensive, and it would take us years to gather that much money through the existing budget process to be able to get ahead of these radios and this storage and this the license plate readers. So we apply for the grant. And that's what I'm getting questions are, well, you're going to do this and that for ICE. Well, we will support ICE. We're not going to allow what took place up in Minneapolis. If ICE needs our help, we are going to help them. This makes it so where we can be more capable and more functional and have the capacity to help our local state and certainly our federal partners.
Cops and Crawfish coming up next month. No, April. When's it coming up?
It's coming up in April, middle of April. We are still accepting applications. People can sponsor it. It's at Five Flags Speedway. It's and there's a car show there, so you have cars. Please pay attention to Escambia County Sheriff Foundation social media platforms. They'll give you information on how to sponsor, how to enter, or how to get your container full of crawfish.
And you had some canines. Was it win a competition? What happened here?
Yeah, we had one over in Orange Beach. A couple of canines actually finished in first place, and we had, I think, four other canine groups, individuals or team events, finish in the top 10. So our canine teams, they kicked butt. They did a really good job. It's the
was it Streeter? Is that one of the ones? I thought a name I recognize, and that's the one that comes top of my mind. So
probably was Mallory. I know was involved in it. I don't know the dog's names. I know it's a little bit of our canine Olympics. You know, we always could do this once every 4 years. That's not true. I made that up. But
do they wear skates?
This one, yeah. You think so?
Not in Florida.
The deputies wear the skates.
That's right.
They'll do that either. They don't wear skates.
One of the questions that you actually got asked going back to the power list was, you know, future. You know, what you want to do, and you love being sheriff. I know you love being sheriff, and you're not really aiming for higher office, but I have heard that maybe if the county decides to go to an elected instead of an appointed county administrator, you know, Wes's job right now, and used to be the deputy or the assistant county administrator, that you'd be willing to run for that job?
There was a long conversation about what potential jobs people could have, not just me, but others.
Uh-huh.
And I made the comment that I'm used to, choose to be in the position that I'm in, where I can make these decisions based on what I think is best for the community. And I'm not sure if there's any job. I said, short of an elected county administrator, which many entities do have. They call it a county mayor, county whatever. Orange County has that. I said, if they ever did that, I would strongly consider running for that type of position. But there's no conversation.
You heard it here.
There's no conversation. I'm not pushing for it. I'm just saying if it happens.
John Peacock hasn't been lobbying you to go for this. All right. Yeah. Even if they cut property taxes, you still want that job?
Someone has got to make decisions in Escambia County, and even if the money is a little short, I think that there's some things to do. But hey, I'm happy to be the sheriff of Escambia County. We're doing great things. We have been able to accumulate a tremendous amount of talent. We are retaining employees, and the sky's the limit for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff Simmons, is always a pleasure. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Top of the power list again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And in the same week, or slightly separated, he winds up getting the the Legacy Award. I'm trying to the name of the award that he won last night at the PACE Awards. I think it's something like that. It's sort of the Lifetime Achievement Award. It's the, you know, once you win this one, you kind of retire from the PACE Awards. You don't get to do anymore because you got the big one. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a kid who's struggling with math, or, you know, maybe, honestly, a lot of times we talk about mathnasium as sort of remedial. If, you know, somebody's in the ninth grade and there was a skill that they did not pick up in the seventh grade or the fourth grade that continues to hinder their progress, because math is a building and a building and a building, and if the foundation is not right, it's hard to build on top of that. Well, mathnasium can come along and fix foundation and then fix everything else and kind of get it all straight. But, you know, sometimes it's not fixing a thing, it's improving a thing. There are some kids who go to mathnasium to be just better at it. Like, they're pretty good or very good, and they want to be better. You know, like sometimes, you know, even the best players have a good coach to make you even better. So whatever the need is, if it is getting good at math and enjoying math and getting better grades at math and being able to build for the future of math, mathnasium is the place. The assessment is completely free. There's no obligation. But take your child in and have them take the assessment, and they'll figure out, okay, what do they know? What don't they know? What things can we work on? And then they'll put together a plan, and, you know, at that point, you can decide what you want to do. They are step-up providers, so there's money available from the state to take care of the tutoring that they provide. Fantastic program. My own son taught there for a year. We know the owners are big fans of what Mathnasium does. 93% of parents report an improved attitude. 90% of students see an improvement in school grades. That's amazing. And that's it. Just stop in and see what they can do for your child. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Tomorrow, Pensacola Sports will be our guest on Pep Talk. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 as Pensacola Sports will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel discussing the upcoming Sun Belt Basketball Championship Tournament and many of the other events on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
1 in 9 children in Escambia County are victims of child abuse. When trauma steals safety, healing needs space. The Healing Garden at Gulf Coast Kids House will offer that space. With sensory plants, music, water, and shelter, over 4,000 children and their caregivers will find peace. Leadership Pensacola invites you to give today and help plant the seeds of healing. To contribute, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I'll tell you one more thing. You got an all-out prize fight, you wait till the fight's over, one guy's left standing, and that's how you know who won.
Back the sugar, the Apollos to console. We gathered here to sprinkle ashes from our late free cereal bowl.
Good morning, 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Americans in Mexico no longer being urged to shelter in place. The warning had been issued after a top cartel boss had been killed by Mexican authorities on Sunday. Apparently, that situation is starting to improve. The U.S. Department of State said public transportation and businesses are returning to normal in Mexico.
They ran out of bombs and bullets, so it's safe to go back on the street again.
You know, I'm not sure how much comfort that would really give me. Were I in Puerto Vallarta?
I'll go on the street long enough to get to the airport, thanks.
That's right. Actor Martin Short's daughter, Catherine Short, has passed away at 42. She was found in her Hollywood home on Monday night. And Discord pumping the brakes on the global rollout of its age verification feature. The video messaging app was planning on launching a new measure next month that would give all users a teen-appropriate experience unless they were verified as adults. The news was received with some backlash by Discord users, and Discord's co-founder now says the global rollout is being delayed until later this year.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. There was a fire near Molino that was apparently caused by a chicken. This is I think it was north of Escambia is where I got this from. Bill Reynolds does a lot of good stuff. And made the power list this year, too. A chicken is being blamed for a fire last week near Molino. The fire in the 5600 block of Highway 99 near the Escambia County 4-H facility reported around 1240 Thursday afternoon. According to Escambia Fire Rescue, the fire started in the chicken coop. And it spread to numerous bales of hay, creating thick smoke in the area. And you might be thinking to yourself, what was this chicken doing? Was he smoking in bed? You know, did he leave the food cooking on the stove too long and didn't pay attention to it? Did an ember come out of the fireplace? The chicken was using to warm himself on the cool night last week. No, the chicken knocked over a heater in the chicken coop. Knocked over the. So they had a heater in there and the heat lamp fell over. Something caught fire. According to a Escambia County spokesperson, I wonder if this is Davis. Anyway, no poultry was harmed during the fire, but approximately 20 hail bays were lost in the fire. Chicken coop was destroyed. EC Fire Station 18 responded. So at this point, without involving the state fire marshal, I guess you'd say no foul play was involved, but those chicken wings were hot. 92.3.